Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day, as Colin says on a daily basis, I'm Doug Gottlieb in for Colin Cowherd, who has promised to join us if Kawhi Leonard makes a decision. Somewhere in the mountains, Utah, Colin Cowherd, who is backpacking through the wild wilderness of the Wasatch Valley, will join us via cell phone if Kawhi decides. And we wait. And there are three very unique and interesting possibilities here, right? Remain in Toronto, which by some people's estimation will change how we view trading players who don't want to go to a specific location. And Paul George last year, Kawhi Leonard this year, if they both stay at a place that they previously said they had no interest in staying, what does it say about Los Angeles, where both players grew up? And what does it say about trading a guy to a place he says, thanks, but no thanks, I don't even want to go there, it's just a way station? If he chooses the Clippers, I mean, we could be in an era where Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving choose the seventh most popular professional sports franchise in the tri-state area. That's what they did. The Nets are the seventh most popular professional sports franchise in the tri-state area. Behind the Yankees, the Mets, the Giants, the Jets. Yes, of course, behind the Knicks and behind the New York Rangers. And the same could be said for the Clippers. Like, the Clippers are lovable, likable. They've built a good culture. But if Kawhi Leonard chooses the Clippers over the 16 banners in the same arena that the Clippers occupy, it's Staples. That is, they are at best the seventh most popular sports franchise, counting USC football, right? Dodger baseball, the Lakers, the Rams. I would even put the Chargers. All right, maybe not the Chargers. Chargers are better, just not as beloved. But the point is this, there are three very interesting choices, and none of them look or feel really alike. Of course, the Lakers would be aligning yourself with two fellow superstars with almost no real culture of winning, been the losingest franchise in the NBA over the last 6 years. Like, that is stunning. It goes counter to what you think of when you think of the Lakers. But that's the decision that Kawhi has. I grew up in Southern California. Twice in my life, I made the professional decision to move back home. Now, I was not making the $30-plus million that Kawhi will make, so different tax bracket, different lifestyle, different proximity to where I'm going to work, different profession altogether. But I can tell you that everyone does this thing. Why don't you put a pro and a con list together? You do the pros, you do the cons. I actually think that's a highly flawed process, because pros and cons, it makes every pro and every con seem like they're actually equal, and they are not. Like, taxes that you're going to pay, they're high in California, they're higher actually in Canada, but that's not really what leads to happiness and enjoying yourself. I don't know how affected he is by weather. Like, my wife does not like cold weather. Does not. But we chose to live in Southern California, and we live in one of the beach communities where, you know what? It actually doesn't get hot, and she kind of doesn't like it as much because she's like, man, when's it going to get hot? Like, I don't know, people like to live here because the sea breeze, it never gets hot. Well, that's not what I wanted. Whereas some people like the cool air. Depends on where you live. Not every pro, not every con equals out to each other. And so let's just say it as we know it and as it's real. I'm Doug Gottlieb, filling in for Colin Cowherd. It's a mistake to go to the Lakers. It's a colossal mistake. And it doesn't mean that if you went to the Lakers, they wouldn't win a championship. It doesn't mean if you went to the Lakers, it wouldn't help his brand tying to one of the most powerful brands in sports. It doesn't mean I'm cheering against the Lakers or cheering for any other team. I'm just telling you that sports people, basketball people, adults will tell you it's a mistake. Unless there is something pulling you home. Like the first time that I moved home, my dad had his first bout with cancer. And in hindsight, even though it was probably a mistake professionally to move home, I look back in hindsight and I had 2 years with him that I will never get back. If that's what's pulling him home, I'd back off. But in terms of playing basketball, when has it ever been fun to go and like, let's just go get the three best players? It's not fun. That's not what you look for. If the idea is I want to win, you can win. It was just proven. Granted, a lot of things had to go in their favor. Like, if to people who think that the Toronto model is the model for the future, like, look, yeah, I guess it is if you can promise that the better team on the other side of the bracket is going to lose half of their roster due to injury, sure. But the point is this. You know you're going to win. They've established a culture of winning over the past half decade that you helped put them over the top. You know how they're going to treat you. You know how much time you're going to get off. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you can still have your off-season life in Los Angeles while you have kind of your professional life in Toronto. Heck, I'd make the case that the Clippers are the better fit. You can still get Southern California. You still get a quality culture of winning and of guys that are playing together and playing the right way, and you get to have the ball. If you think that it's going to work out with LeBron James, you might be right. Right? Proof is in the pudding. He did go to 8 finals in a row. But how enjoyable an experience was it really for Chris Bosh to be the third wheel? Or for Dwayne Wade to be the second wheel? Or for Kyrie Irving, who could not wait to get out from the shadow of LeBron James? If you're chasing brand recognition because you're not getting it in San Antonio or in Toronto, maybe you should tell your uncle, hey, dude, I don't talk. I don't speak. It's kind of hard to be a spokesperson when you don't spoke. Right? Maybe you have a New Balance deal because it's just kind of hard to pitch a product in a guy that doesn't really sell any product because he doesn't want to sell himself. His sale is, I'm the best player. You figure out the rest. I'm not Canadian. I'm very realistic with the fact that as much as they love basketball, they're going to always love hockey more. I get it's a foreign country. I get it's not a site that place that he chose. But I can tell you that moving back home to move back home is the most cliche thing ever. And, oh, yeah, by the way, there's a reason that there's another cliche statement. You can't go home again. You come back home, you're like, man, I'm going to reconnect with people. If you weren't connected with people since you left, there's probably a reason. And it's not distance. It's definitely not expense. If he was a guy that was so connected and wanted to be interwoven in the community that he grew up in, well, then he would be connected and interwoven in the community he grew up in. He would be on Facebook on the MLK High School reunion page. That's what he would do. I'm not telling you that Southern California isn't a great place, and I can't imagine what it would be like to be worth $100 million. You can live where you hear, shh, 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 every morning. And you can kind of melt into a community where, yeah, you're a star, but you ain't the biggest star. The idea that people are going to track him down and TMZ him, not really. But from a professional basketball perspective, you never want to be a part of that circus. There is no established culture. You have no idea about how the coach will coach your team, let alone your other stars or you. You've already been shown by Toronto. They give you the time off. They'll put the team around you. And if it's not working at the trade deadline, they'll go out and make some profound moves. Isn't it enough? I don't know what Kawhi Leonard will do. I don't know. I'm just as interested as all of you are. I have the people I know in the NBA, and everyone feels confident in something LA, something Toronto. He's going to stay. He's going to go. I've heard clubs are planning celebrations in Toronto. I've heard very smart people say, no, no, done deal, going to LA. I don't know. And it doesn't actually affect me either way. The league probably wants him in LA, but the league doesn't have a say in this matter. They just don't. But the idea of lining up three guys who all need the basketball, who all play some form of the same position at different times in their careers, and putting them together on one team when you're already on a championship team, like, what are we doing? How do we get to a place in sports where you would ever leave a championship team that gave you 22 nights off in the regular season, built everything around you, celebrated your presence, and then would do anything for you to stay? What are you searching for? What do you need? Everything you have is right there. And if home is what brings you there, isn't it pretty obvious the better fit is the Clippers? Don't know what he can do, know what he shouldn't do. He shouldn't go to the Lakers. Even though they would absolutely be competitive for a championship with him, and they may be competitive for a championship without him. That's not always the point. The point is not always to win. The point sometimes is how you play the game. And unless you want to make a dramatic departure from how you've played and how you've evolved as a player, oh, LeBron's going to play off the basketball. LeBron is going, he's going to let everybody else make plays. When has that happened?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I'm not sure if anybody's thought about this. And I know that Nick Wright's going to spit out his coffee as he drinks going back to his palatial estate somewhere in New York City. Look, stats would tell you that LeBron James was not the problem last year. That he was great, right? 27, 8, and 8. And if you don't actually watch basketball games, again, you simply go by stats, Russell Westbrook was the best player in the league. Right? We have a triple-double for the third straight year. So if we want to go by stats, you'd say LeBron was great and Russell was the best. Neither were true. If you watched LeBron James, he tried to fit into a different style at times, and maybe that limited some of his production, but it wasn't a production thing. It wasn't about the number of points he put on the board. It was about the way he moved, or maybe the way he didn't move. It was about his inability to be, well, LeBron, impact a game at both ends in so many different ways. He just didn't move like he used to. He didn't defend like he used to. He didn't obliterate mismatches offensively the way he used to. Sure, he's become so skilled that he can pick his spots and still make plenty of shots and get plenty of rebounds, but the actual substance of what he did, he was not the same. LeBron James is 35 years old, and Father Time is, in fact, undefeated. And though I'm told he's down 15, 20 pounds, knowing he needs to play lighter and more agile at this point in his career, he's gone through this before. He's done the off-season, you know, Jenny Craig program for basketball players where he's going to trim down and slim down. But at the end of the day, he's 35 years old. His contemporaries, the guys he came into the NBA with, are mostly retired. Sure, Carmelo is still posting videos one-on-none dominating in a New York City health club, but between the toxicity of having him on your team or just his inability to play the other end of the floor, he's not in the NBA currently. Dwayne Wade has retired. Kind of Chris Bosh has retired. Granted, that was because of blood clots, but at this point in his career, he probably would have been working his way towards retirement. That doesn't mean that LeBron needs to retire. It just means that a reasonable person can say he's on the downside, the peak of his career. Kawhi Leonard is at the peak of his powers. He's a two-time finals MVP. He is, by my estimation, the best player in the game because Kevin Durant's out with injury. We don't know what he'll look like when he gets back. Age-wise, style-wise, skill-wise, confidence-wise, Kawhi Leonard's the best player in the game. And if we're willing to concede that we have not yet seen the best of Anthony Davis, one, because of some injuries, two, because of some age and some evolution, and three, because the players around him, what if I told you that if Kawhi Leonard chooses the Lakers, LeBron's actually the third best player in his own team? And look, we can all say, well, that's perfect for LeBron because he's always liked to get everybody else involved. He's even said, and I love this statement, that he celebrates more when others have success on his team than when he has success. But ask yourself, when was the last time LeBron James wasn't the best player on his own team? When was that? When was that moment? Wasn't high school. Wasn't AAU. I could make the case that a couple times on Team USA, Kevin Durant was actually the better player, the better scorer. But if LeBron was not 1A, he was a 1B. Outside of that, from the moment he arrived in Cleveland, the second he stepped out in the court in Cleveland, he was the best player. To Miami, where he joined Dwayne Wade, and let it be known, he was the best player. When he came back to Cleveland, he was the best player. When he went to LA, he was the best player. So a guy who's had the lead in every play he's ever been in, somehow now we expect him to take a secondary or even a tertiary role? What happens in movies? Scene stealer. What happens in television shows or radio? What happens in radio shows when you have a driver and a reactor and the guy who's always been the driver's a reactor? People fight over the mic. People try and make grandiose points. And what happens in sports is LeBron may want Kawhi or Anthony Davis, if it all comes together, to succeed, but he wants to be the guy that made it happen. And maybe this is unique to basketball, maybe it's not. I think it kind of is. The idea that Kawhi Leonard may take and make the big shots, but would do so off the hands of a pass of LeBron James, that goes counter to every reality that we've ever seen. Like, we got to stop and think about the ramifications of this. If Kawhi goes to the Lakers, LeBron James, based upon where he is age-wise in his career, you could argue with me all you want about he's the greatest ever, the second greatest ever, whatever. The third greatest, the fourth. Like, we can argue all that different stuff. I'm not arguing where he has been at the peak of his career, the longevity of how long that peak has lasted. I'm not arguing that with you. I'm not doing the Jordan versus LeBron thing. I'm not doing any of that. What I am saying, and this is really important, is he has never been in a place where he was not the best player. And he ain't the best player. He can still be great. He can still be a top five, a top 10 guy. He ain't as good as Kawhi Leonard. And most people in the NBA think that Anthony Davis is right there, and Anthony Davis is going to get better playing with better players around him and being in the coming into the prime of his career. That's not where LeBron is. So the idea that we know anything about how he would handle it, how they would handle it, how Frank Vogel, who was not close to the first choice, will handle it, could be the most fascinating element of what may be the biggest team and the biggest story of the upcoming NBA season.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff, Three and Out Podcast, brought to you by Colin Cowherd's Podcast Network. You like Colin's show, you'll like mine. I talk all football. Chris Sims ranked his top 40 quarterbacks, and he was way off. Ezekiel Elliott, does Jerry Jones officially have a problem? And we dive into the AFC North, the Cleveland Browns, and all the over-unders for the division. Again, Three and Out Podcast with me, John Middlecoff.
He is the ageless one. He is a lead college basketball analyst and NBA analyst on all things Fox Sports. He's the one and only Jim Jackson. He joins us He covers the Big Three. He covers the NCAA tournament. He does it all. What do you think? Like, we're sitting here and we're just waiting. What do you think?
I think he stays, but let's back up. How about this from a perspective? If, and I don't know if Kawhi's camp looked at it in this way, but if Kawhi makes a decision Sunday or Monday, he falls into the same pile with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, and doesn't get a lot of press. But since this thing has been stretched out all across the media outlets, it's all about Kawhi. So from a marketing perspective, you couldn't have it better because everything leading up to this is all about the Kawhi. It's the summer of Kawhi now. But whereas before, it was all about where's Durant going, you know? So I don't know if his camp kind of played that out or said this is how we're going to do it. They had to do the interviews. But strategically, I think it's awesome because all we're talking about is Kawhi.
What would you do? I want you to put I don't want you to carry his burdens or his bag. You personally, you played in, what, 12 different teams? All right, so you're in Toronto. You win a championship. You have L.A. is home. You got Clippers. You got Lakers. You got Raptors. What would you do?
The person I am, I'm a real loyal person, okay, to a fault at times. And if I'm in Toronto and we've won, they've given me everything I've asked for. They proved to me that we can win a championship. The management has proved that they'll do whatever it takes to win. We have a great staff, a great team. I would stay. I'm in the East. I got a chance to run it again. Yes, teams have gotten better, but so can we. That's me personally. Now, Kawhi talked about his, you know, desire to play for the Lakers when he was at San Antonio. And so that has some value in regards to what he wants to do. But for me, sometimes the grass is not always greener on the other side. And plus, Toronto can pay me more. Okay, so unless there's a sign and trade opportunity to go to another team.
What if he goes to the Lakers? Would it work? Like, I think they'd win, but like, you know how it is in basketball. When you're used to having the ball in your hands, and like LeBron can say, like, hey, man, you know, eventually it's going to be, you know, be your team and I'll be the point guard. Like, but that means that LeBron sets everybody up. You know, he doesn't mind you taking the big shot, but he wants to pass you to take the big shot. Whereas that's not how kind of what Kawhi's evolved into. Does that actually work together?
You know, I'm not for sure because even though LeBron has gotten older, you think about the year he still had, you know, this year, some career highs in a lot of his categories, statistical categories. Okay. And it's extremely difficult when you're a ball handler, a creator, like Kawhi is. Because one of the big questions, you know, we asked, and I asked myself, could Kawhi put a team on his back? We didn't really see it in San Antonio because he didn't have to. And he answered that question that he could. So now you're talking about taking that away to some degree if you go to the Lakers. Because LeBron is effective with the ball in his hand at the end of the day. Okay? That's, you know, that's the difference. And I don't know, I'm not saying it couldn't work. The three would have to figure things out because Anthony Davis has to have a ball. Would you get the same Kawhi Leonard that we saw in Toronto? I don't think we would. I think we'll see it in spurts.
Yeah. I also kind of worry Anthony Davis stands to lose the most, right? If he, because Anthony Davis runs the risk of becoming Chris Bosh, stand in the corner, we'll come to you when we need you. Doesn't he?
I think he's a little bit more dynamic.
Oh, I think he's a lot more dynamic. I think he's a better player than Chris Bosh.
Yes, he is. And keep in mind, Chris was a 2010 guy in Toronto.
No question.
I mean, getting buckets and getting numbers.
Right, but he was also the best player on a bad team. Yeah. Whereas Anthony Davis, and look, you cover the NBA for Turner, so you know way better than I do. But I operate on the, like, he's an MVP candidate.
No,
like,
no, he is.
Top five player in the game, which Bosh was never really in that. In that realm.
Yeah, he wasn't. And, you know, things change depending on what the system that Frank Vogel wants to run, I think is very important, too, on how and where Anthony Davis gets those touches, okay? How you spread the floor is going to be important. How you fill out the rest of your roster to be able to get perimeter shooting is going to be very important to Anthony Davis to give him the space that he needs to go to work. So all these things are still in the flux because what Kawhi did by, you know, kind of delaying – his decision is now you've taken the ability for the Lakers to build out the roster with shooters that were on the market earlier. They couldn't offer him contracts without knowing what they were going to do with that max salary that they had by waiting for Kawhi. So it's still some pieces to the puzzle, as we all know, the Lakers still have to make.
What do you make of some of this post-mortem stuff on Kevin Durant that I didn't love playing for Steve Kerr is one story. That he and Draymond, when they got into it, that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Mm-hmm.
There's the, you know, it wasn't that he and Steph didn't get along, but, you know, Steph's kind of the golden child there. Yeah. Plus, he's married. They weren't there wasn't much of an off-the-court relationship. Like, now that he's gone, are these the seeds that have sprouted the tree that pushed him out?
I think it was a combination of a lot of stuff, from what I'm hearing. Not that he didn't get along with his teammates. Again, you got to have flare-ups, okay, in regards to either coach or player. That's going to happen when you're in the locker room. And plus, you got to understand that when I was talking to Steve Kerr before, he said this has been the hardest year they've had just because of the expectations, just because of the drain, the mental drain of getting back to a finals, getting through the regular season. So you put that into the bowl of stress that you have to deal with, the high expectations, not just from Golden State or from Oakland, but from the NBA by itself. And then you have an individual who's still trying to prove that he's still he's the best player. But you have all these shots being fired at him in regards to, well, you're on the best team, you have
right.
this, and
right.
Are you really? So I'm not surprised in regards to Kevin Durant leaving, because the signs to me were already there if you just paid attention to it. You know, it could be a combination of all those things you talked about.
Does it work with him and Kyrie in Brooklyn?
I hope it does. I really do, because, you know, we were talking on Speak for Yourself a few days ago, and I talked about the value of those two being really great friends. And I've heard they've been talking about this for a while. And then, you know, Marcellus and Jason said, I don't know, Marcellus wasn't there, but Jason said, you know, you shouldn't do business with friends. I said, I get it. But it's been some guys that have been great friends that are great business partners, okay? So it does work. And I think those two, hopefully, you know, when Kevin Durant gets back and those young guys, you know, with the Nets continue to improve, that they can have a lethal combination and they can get along. Now, it has to be a lot of growing up and growth in Kyrie.
Correct.
And that's, I think that, to me, is the key.
Yeah, and I think KD has to grow up as well. And maybe this year helps him, you know, absorb some of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
You see the game differently. I do think it's funny when people say you shouldn't do business with friends, then people say you shouldn't do business with family.
Right.
On the other hand, you want to do business with people you trust, and like, all right, so you're going to do business with somebody you don't know at all?
Exactly. You know, but sometimes knowing someone too intimately, it's held against you at times.
Right.
And I get it.
Yes.
But the respect level, like I did business with friends, and it worked out perfectly. I did business with perfect strangers that I trusted, and it didn't.
Yes.
So it just depends on the individual, and hopefully the culture within the Nets system with Kenny Atkinson and also Sean Marks, who I played with in Miami,
yeah.
That system molds these players. But more importantly, it holds them accountable.
That's the interesting part you point about the culture. And look, I've been crushing Kyrie a little bit because mm-hmm. the culture of Boston was really good.
Yep.
And then it was not good. The chemistry was not good this year. And I don't think he should have all the blame.
No.
Like, I think, you know, Jason Tatum got gassed up by people in the media
yep.
telling him he was better than he was.
Jaylen Brown.
I think Jaylen Brown. I think, you know,
Terry Rozier,
yep. you know, thinks he's the dude because uh-huh. he played pretty well in some home yeah. playoff games. But I do think that he's a big – on the other hand, just because you didn't fit into one culture doesn't mean if you're a bright guy, and we would all agree Kyrie right. is a bright guy, mm-hmm. you can't learn from your own mistakes, you know?
It's part of growth. Duh. Nobody's perfect. And Kyrie thought maybe that he learned something from his tenure in Cleveland that he could take to Boston. It was a little bit different, especially – now, what happens if Kyrie doesn't get hurt and he plays, okay? Okay? When Terry Rozier kind of took off and Jason Tatum had
it. What happens if Gordon Hayward doesn't break his leg in half the first 2 minutes
you know,
of his career
a lot
with the
Celtics? A lot of that fed into
yes.
the culture of the locker room.
Yep.
Okay? And Kyrie, being the elder statesman, probably caught a lot of that, hearing, okay, well, do we really need Kyrie? Okay? Is he really integral? Yeah, you need Kyrie. He's a closer. But you got to look at all of those factors on why. And then, to boot, this was a test, stress test, for Brad Stevens. The first time he really had to deal with the ego part
right.
of the NBA and how to manage that, which is extremely difficult.
It's probably the point that's made the least. You just made the best way possible, which is, well, I consider Brad a friend and know other guys in mm-hmm. the organization. And I do think one of the things missing on that bench, you know, they just hired three assistants, mm-hmm. is a guy who has been a player who can't, you know, they used to have Walter McCarty, who's now the head coach at Evansville.
Yeah.
But a guy who has been through this, who can be a go-between between Brad, uh-huh. who is brilliant, okay, and just he shows up to work to do work every day, and a guy who can, you know, what he means is,
yep.
what you need to do mm-hmm. is somebody who's been there, the Sam Cassell types. I yeah. think Jason Kidd can be integral for the, I think everybody thinks that Jason Kidd's just going to stab Frank Vogel in the back, which may actually happen. But while he's stabbing in the back, I think it's a big part of, like, he's been a superstar and a head coach in the NBA twice over. Who better to relate what mm-hmm. Frank Vogel wants and what LeBron wants to each other as kind of the go-between?
Well, the challenge you always have with young players, and this is what you love, is the bravado, the ego. You want to, you have to have ego to be great. Okay. Now, if it gets out of hand, now it hurts the locker room. But Brad Stevens came from Butler. So the guys, recruited were 3 or 4 star guys. They grew over 4 years. The ego was out the door. They had a little bit of ego, but he was able to manage those young men because they grew and they understood that they had to outperform, outplay, outwork because we weren't as talented. Okay. So we had to do things collectively as a team. You kind of had that first year, you know, with Brad there. Okay. That same kind of attitude. But then, once the Eagles got involved, Brad couldn't navigate through that, pull back a little bit, demand certain things because he was just learning himself, okay? So it was a learning year, I think, for all of that. And it played into why I think Kyrie pushed back a lot. Now, that doesn't make it right because you're the older guy. You should be able to navigate and get through that and walk these young guys and have them understand the importance of keeping it together. But it was a hodgepodge of a lot of things going on in Boston that caused, I think, Kyrie not to be the leader he wanted to be.
Let's circle back. I started by asking you where he should go.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think Kawhi Leonard will go?
I think he stays. I think he does. You know, it's interesting because I think the meeting with the Lakers is very important from the fact that you had to figure out what's going on upstairs, okay, with management. Because
but he didn't meet with management.
He met with Magic.
I understand, but like – I don't know. Like
it's a weird dynamic. Here's my thing. It's a weird dynamic that you wait this long. I think guys know where they want to go.
Yeah.
They just got to be pushed over the edge a little bit.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I mean, the Clippers, you know what they're going to do. Toronto, what else are they going to sell you on, bro? You just won a championship. They've been in your ear the whole year about why it's important that you're coming back. The meeting with Magic or the phone call, getting the information, which is weird anyway because Magic basically – you know, threw a lot of those under the guys under the bus in management. I don't know if there was confidence in that perspective about where they're at now, but more importantly, Doug, where they're going.
Right.
Because post LeBron, you know, LA needs a superstar or two. We get it. But from a management perspective, an unfamiliarity with Frank Vogel, those questions would hinder a guy like Kawhi's decision on being comfortable for not just next year, but for the future.
See, that's where I would be critical of LeBron. Like, look, if LeBron met with Kawhi Leonard and he wants it to work, he mm-hmm. wants it to happen, then he goes and picks up Frank Vogel at his hotel room
mm-hmm.
and says, Rob Pelinka, you guys are good with me. It's the old Pee Wee Reese. You guys remember the Pee Wee Reese story? So Jackie Robinson, they're playing in Cincinnati one day mm-hmm. and the fans are heckling him. And they're saying nasty things right. to him. And Pee Wee Reese walks over and he puts his arm around Jackie Robinson. He's like, he's with me.
Right.
And that ended that.
Yep.
And if LeBron would have simply done that, and I don't know if he comes through, but if you have any questions about how things are rolling and LeBron James rolls up to your house or mm-hmm. to your hotel room and he's got Pelinka with him and he's got Frank and they don't have to say a word, but they're with me. I got it. I'm good. Yeah. It's whatever thing LeBron's saying, they're all lockstep. And I think that's a mistake in how they're pitching this thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's so important because LeBron James, listen, no other athlete has been able to control the narrative like LeBron in sports. Okay. He's changed the way free agency is. He's changed the way we do training camps. He's changed the way back-to-back games, spreading out the season. I mean, all of this. And we know that he has a level of control within the organization. If he comes to Kawhi and says, listen, bro, I know Frank is new, but don't worry about it. We got AD this, the management, we're going to work that out. I have full confidence. That's a whole different pitch. You don't even need management after that point.
You don't think you need him there?
No, I'm talking about in regards to going to get a pitch from management.
I understand.
You know, I think if LeBron does that, that's a whole different animal. Because one thing for certain, you may not agree with everything LeBron has done, but you trust what he's talking about because he's been there, you know? Whether it's been in Miami, he has some issues there, but management was great. He was able to control the narrative in Cleveland, okay? And with the Lakers, you got to think about it. They need to win. So when LeBron gives you his approval in regards to where they're going, You know, that's a huge statement.
It is. Jim Jackson, of course, a longtime NBA stud, two-time Mr. Basketball in the state of Ohio.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. All-American, Mr. All-American at Ohio State. Thanks so much for stopping by.
You got it, brother.